from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Fresh Fridays. It is the G and Ursula Show. Ursula, I played this for you.
You did?
For some reason, I was riding in this morning, and I was playing this, and I'd be like, I wonder if Ursula know about them Commodores. Oh. She know about Lionel Richie.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Oh. Absolutely. Loving it.
So, this is the real reason why I'm playing this. Because I've been thinking about my dad so much, and this was one of his jams. So I'm gonna have my inner dad going on today.
I like it.
Yeah.
Your dad was a very, very wise man, and he continues to guide you through life.
Wise man.
Yes.
Wise man.
I love it.
All right. Let's get to it. We got a lot to do and get to do today. Let's get to Ursula's top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
The race between the vaccine and the virus continues. Unfortunately, right now, the virus is ahead. On Monday, state health officials are going to be looking at the metrics and will determine which counties will have to roll back.
A dozen or so counties that are on the border or exceeding the metrics to move to phase two or stay in phase two. There are even some that are close to phase one.
King and Snohomish counties are among those counties at risk of rolling back to phase two. To stay in phase three, counties have to have fewer than 200 new COVID cases per 100,000 residents. And the state reported that Snohomish County is sitting just above that right now at 201. So come on, Snohomish County, you can do it. King County is at 214. Pierce County, as you know very well, G, got knocked back to phase two the last time and will likely stay there. But the governor will be making those announcements on Tuesday now.
The scale. The scale, Ursula. The weight scale in my bathroom. Okay? The numbers don't always tell the story. When I step on the scale, yeah, the numbers aren't where I want them to be, but they're not telling the real story. Vaccinations are happening. People are getting vaccinated right now in this place. You have kids that are going to school. It is not telling them. This is what I feel. I feel that we keep saying metrics, 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 and there's just no listening. I disagree with this decision. You guys know how I feel about this whole rollback thing. This does nothing but hurt small restaurants, and it hurts the small businesses. It does nothing for that. Is this going to be the reason why COVID's going to get better or on a rollback from three to two? Absolutely not. COVID right now is going to get better as people increase to continue to get vaccinated.
And you know what's happening with that? People are starting to slow down on the vaccinations.
I mean, no, yeah. there is. Yes,
yes,
I agree.
We're going to get into that.
Yes, yeah. There's vaccine hesitation. But yeah, for the most part, people are getting out there, Ursula. They really are. The death rates. And by the way, remember last year, 2020, one of the biggest reasons why we shut down is because people were dying. We really had no answer. There was no vaccine back then, right? People were dying, especially our most vulnerable population. Totally understand locking down or, if you will, rolling back to these phases. Not now, Ursula. I can't
because
get
you're
on
tired.
Board.
I get it. You're tired.
Everybody's
we're all tired. It's really popular, though, to say Governor Inslee is a dictator. He's not consistent. But you do have to look at, you say you look at the scale and it doesn't tell the whole story, but it tells some of the story. And you have to look at those numbers that are available. And some of the main ones are hospitalizations, which are climbing in the state and are reaching levels that we saw last November. That's going in the wrong direction. But what's especially concerning is that it's younger adults who are filling these hospital beds. And you know who hasn't changed? You know who hasn't changed from the beginning of the pandemic?
Who's that?
The hospital workers who are exhausted. You want to talk about you're exhausted because we may have to. How is it really going to affect you?
It's not. Hold on.
Going back to phase two.
It is not going to affect me.
Yes.
But hear how it does affect me. Yeah. It bothers me just like it bothers you. I know you as well. It bothers me to know that people are impacted, and in my heart of hearts, I don't feel like they should be. And no, I'm not going to call Governor Jay Inslee those things, but I will say the younger people, right, which we are talking about, are the ones that are, hey, there's a lot of young folks that are catching it. Hello, guess what's happening over the last month and a half? Schools have gone back in session.
But that's not that is part of the number, but that's not the whole number. That's not all the younger adults that we're talking about.
No, that's not. But it is adding to the increase in cases.
Absolutely.
So all I'm saying is this. Okay, I'll tell you this. Here's the language that I don't like being said. I don't like it when anybody says, hey, you guys haven't been doing a good job, when schools have gone back and they're allowing a certain amount of fans in the stands in these professional sporting events. So I'm saying this, Governor Jay Inslee, some of these decisions you have made, my man, and if we had to do it all over again, I would say we keep the kids home and not be in school right now.
If we did it over again, I would have the kids back in school earlier, because you have to make the choices as to where you're going to allow things to open up. And again, we all want everything to open up, but this is what we're dealing with. And now we're looking at a potential of a dozen counties rolling back. After weeks of not having enough vaccines, there's now a big push to convince people who may be hesitant to get their shots. So Governor Inslee says it is the best tool to get out of the pandemic. More colleges around the state, as we've been telling you, are now requiring vaccines, including Washington State University now. And the governor says you can expect a growing number of events and activities that will want proof of you getting the shots.
We also will be announcing new guidelines that will allow spectator events in sports, performing arts, school graduations, to be able to be with other folks who are vaccinated.
And meanwhile, Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin is pushing to become the most vaccinated city in America. Seattle is now actually second only to San Francisco. 60% of Seattle residents have had at least one shot. So want to know where they're doing a good job?
Where?
Seattle.
Oh, good for Seattle. I'm going to tell you who's not doing a good job. Me. Let me tell you why. So I'm driving in this morning, having a conversation with somebody, and they're telling me, like, oh, I'm not about the vaccine, and telling me all this stuff about the vaccine and all the negativity that they've read and they've been reading up on it and how we don't know what's going to happen to our bodies in the vaccine. I almost crashed this morning. You want to know who that was, Ursula?
Who?
It was Baby G. It was my own son. I said, what the... Man, I got kids outside of the home, and this is what happened. I got inside of the home. My youngest Zion is going to get his second shot today.
Yeah.
And now I got my oldest son telling me why he didn't go get the vaccine when they had all the team together to get the vaccinations. I said, you mean to tell me you haven't gotten the vaccine? So then I had to tell him, and I said, look, let me just give it to you like this, son. Tell me about the vaccines you got when you were a kid. You want to talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
You okay? You good? Oh, well, Dad, they just started making the vaccines just recently, in the last 6 months. I said, who told you that?
That's just it. It's this abbreviated version, this simplified version. And I think that education continues to be imperative. It's critical.
Yes, my own son.
I know, but my own son called and said, Mom, it looks like Dad got me signed up for Johnson & Johnson. Can you change it, please?
What does he want to get?
He wanted Pfizer. So the thing is, we were able to do that.
That's a blessing.
So you are able to make a change. And I think it's perfectly fine to be hesitant and to ask questions.
I think so, too.
And it is a personal choice.
Yeah,
however, so you know, with personal choices, there are consequences. And it may mean that you can't go, you know, to certain events. Mm-hmm. Or attend a certain school because they have certain requirements.
Yeah.
There'll be other choices for you, but you just won't have that choice.
Right.
I think encouragement is good.
Yes.
I think education is imperative.
Yes.
I think we have to keep helping people understand that the vaccine is safe, and then keep emphasizing how it's going to help them and open up the economy faster. But there are some who say this whole thing with the schools, for example, is unconstitutional.
I just want to give a suggestion.
Yes.
If you have a family member, a friend, coworker, someone that you know that has vaccine hesitancy, like they're just not sure, don't do what I did to my son this morning.
So what?
I lost my damn mind.
Oh, did you?
I was going off.
Well, that's where we need to meet people where they're at.
Don't do what I did.
Yeah.
That is not a good idea. So I'm just giving you warnings. Don't do that. That's not cool.
A mother has filed a federal lawsuit against the city of Seattle now over last year's shooting death of her 19-year-old son inside the former Chop Zone on Capitol Hill. Danita Sinclair tells Cairo 7 TV the city created a dangerous environment and failed to help her son after he was shot.
Accountability. What is accountability? You left the Chop. You left your precinct. You didn't come in when you were supposed to. Nobody had a plan. Everybody knew about the Chop being present. The outcome is death. What you gonna do about it?
The Chop Zone, of course, was that area that covered several blocks in Capitol Hill, and it was created when police abandoned the East Precinct last June in the midst of all those protests after the murder of George Floyd.
Pay them their money. Yes. Pay them their money. I have no disagreement with this. It was a terrible, terrible display of leadership. You know, Ursula.
A lack thereof, yes.
The further we get away from that, the more I look back on that Chop situation. And we went there.
Yes.
And we reported on it. And we talked about how this needs to stop. We talked about it then.
It was before all the chaos.
Before the chaos.
But you could tell it was on the brink of it.
Oh, it was. I'm like, whoa. Now looking back even further, I'm not going to lie. When my grandkids ask me about that, I'm going to say, look. I had nothing to do with it. I had no idea it was going down. Like, it's embarrassing. Like seriously, the city of Seattle, you need to wear this. You should be embarrassed for what happened.
The fact that people around the country know what CHOP was.
Yeah.
And the phrase summer of love.
Yeah.
That's all you need to say. Well, this summer, at least 100 people chosen at random in Tacoma will be getting $500 a month for at least a year. The guaranteed income is going to be in a cash payment. It'll be given directly to the people, no strings attached. This pilot program is called GRIT, which stands for Growing Resilience in Tacoma, and it's going to focus on black and brown communities with single head of households and an annual income of less than $52,000 a year. Here is the mayor of Tacoma.
I believe as a city, as we call ourselves a compassionate city and the city of destiny, it is our responsibility to make sure that everyone who lives in our community has what they need to be successful. We talk a lot about equity and the importance of supporting those who need it the most. And in my opinion, this is one way to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk.
And Mayor Victoria Woodards points out that this program is funded through private donations. No taxpayer dollars will be used.
I love this idea. $500 a month for some can be life-changing, right? If I go back to where I was in my finances 10 years ago, my kids would not have had the opportunity to be where they are today.
Wow.
I couldn't afford, I mean, and some of you parents, you guys know what I'm talking about. I remember when signing your kids up for the rec leagues was like $35 or $60 and everything. Well, today it's not like that.
No.
And some of you guys that are going through it right now and it's hard for you, I feel your pain. When you have some of these, whether you're soccer or baseball or football or basketball, Ursula, and you have these travel teams and all of that, and you mean to tell me that some of these travel teams, some of you guys, maybe it's $1,000, maybe it's $2,500, maybe it's $5,000 for a year?
I know, but can I?
Go ahead.
This is going to take us in a whole different direction, but the whole travel team thing, that is, in many ways, a scam.
You know what, Ursula? Hey, you know what?
I'm sorry.
No. You know what? Let me tell you something. Maybe 10 years ago, when I was getting ready to get started in it and I was trying to get into it, I would argue you. I ain't going to argue you now. Because right now, there are a lot of adults. You know what?
Who are living vicariously through their kids and thinking that they're going to be the ones that get that scholarship. And the reality is, they aren't.
No. Not that part of it. You know what youth sports reminds me of today?
Big business?
It reminds me, my father talked about this too. It reminds me of the 70s and 80s when folks tried to go get straight. And so they were pimping and selling drugs and doing all those things. So what did they guess what they went to go do? I had a family member that did it. They became pastors.
Oh, boy.
Youth sports is one of those things where you can, hey, I'm doing it for the kids and still make $100,000 a year. So I do believe that there are some good programs. However, there are a lot of bad programs throughout the country.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to take up that subject. But back to the $500.
I like that.
My initial response is they can do anything they want. It's not going to be used for rent. It's not going to be used for, you know, any particular food. They can do anything they want. Mm-hmm. What's to keep them? This is just my initial gut response. What's to keep them?
No, don't say it. Don't say it. Don't say it, Ursula.
But then I realized, no, absolutely. And it's a project. It's going to be tried for a year. And they're going to track where the money is used. And then we can see, is this idea of universal basic income a good one? The mayor of Tacoma seems to think it is. And so this sounds like
you know where it's going
a great
go.
Way to try.
You know where the extra $500 might go for some? Gas.
Yes. Food.
Food.
Yes. No,
right?
Especially right now. I absolutely hear that. So Jeff Bezos has a lot to be excited about these days. Listen to him.
Guys, how exciting is this? Come on.
Okay. Not only did Amazon's profit more than triple during the pandemic, he is really pumped up about trips to space. His company, Blue Origin, is soon going to start selling tickets to board its New Shepard rocket ship into the cosmos. The company isn't saying how much the tickets are going to cost just yet, but this spacecraft is only designed to fit 6 people inside.
I didn't even know about Blue Origin.
Oh, yeah, it's big.
Until my homeboy Albert. My homeboy Albert, he works there. Shout out to Albert that works for Blue Origin. He loves his company. He loves everything that they do over there at Blue Origin. This is one of those things I'm excited for others to do.
I know. Especially since, okay, check this out.
Uh-huh.
So Richard Branson has been selling tickets to space also.
Okay.
They've been going for more than $250,000 each.
Come on, man.
The company's already sold more than 600. Okay, and then let's see.
Ursula, you like to travel. You going?
Yeah, I like to travel, but not this way. Elon Musk.
Uh-huh.
This is nuts.
Uh-huh.
He has already sold tickets for a private 10-day space ride to the International Space Station, which we have talked about. That trip is slated to launch later this year. Tickets sold for $55 million each.
Can we
we'll enjoy other people.
Can people get $500 a month?
Yeah, right? I know. Just from the that's just ridiculous. Okay, still ahead. A Seattle chocolate shop is getting torched on social media right now after 2 police officers were allegedly denied service. The owner of this business has now given an apology, but is it going to be enough? We're going to talk about that next. You are listening to The G and Ursula Show. Welcome back to The G and Ursula Show. So there is a Seattle chocolate shop that has become very unpopular in recent days, and it has been torched all over social media, and now it has made national news because an employee allegedly turned away 2 police officers who were trying to make an order. This happened at the Wallingford store, and the Seattle Police Guild president, Mike Solon, talked to Channel 4 about how these officers felt after they were turned away purely because they were in law enforcement.
They're a bit distraught, dismayed to be treated in that manner. I think they were taken aback. This is just another gut punch. We're community servants, and I don't want false narratives to continue to, I think, cloud people's judgment.
Okay, and this started with a story out of the postmillennial.com, and supposedly this employee told the officers, no, I am not going to serve you. And then when the postmillennial contacted Chocolati for comment, the store employee actually answered the phone. And then upon learning about why the reporter was calling, the employee allegedly said, is this how you want to spend your time getting essential workers in trouble? Shouldn't you be spending your time harassing homeless people? Okay, so first of all,
go ahead. Are you gonna?
Well, I'm gonna. Yes. So first of all, this sounds like a horrendous bad judgment. Mm-hmm. Absolutely discrimination against a police officer or two police officers if they're just purely walking in to order something. Then I'm thinking, well, now that this has become news, I'm sure that the
owner
is going to respond. And Chris, I know that you were trying to get a hold of the owner yesterday for Dory's show, and it sounds like there's no luck trying to get this owner, who is also in real estate.
Yeah, and the first day that this happened, their phone was off the hook, their website was down, so things were going crazy. And then I emailed the owner directly and haven't heard anything back.
Yeah, and I spent about an hour looking at the Facebook page. Right. There is not an entry in that Facebook page that doesn't have people, hundreds of people commenting, calling them, you know, you're serving hate and basically saying, I'm never going to go to your business or support your business again. The unfortunate thing is that the owner of this shop said in a statement on Facebook, this was the apology. As a local small business, Chocolati welcomes all members of our community. We've recently become aware of an incident that occurred with a team member and an officer of the Seattle Police Department who was refused service. Although we do respect this team member's freedom of speech, the actions in this instance do not represent our views as a company. We are actively working directly with this team member and the local precinct to create a more inviting, inclusive, and cohesive community for all. Discrimination is not a practice that we believe will heal the divide within our city, and we are committed to being a safe and welcoming place for every one of our neighbors. That is the statement in full.
Terrible.
I was going to say, as you can imagine, that didn't satisfy anybody.
Terrible.
And this owner needs to have a lesson on what is a proper apology. What do you do?
Now, you know why the apology isn't good? Because where his thoughts and his heart isn't good. This needs to stop now. It's the extreme views on anything that is considered to be a problem. Now you guys know why I don't say things like those on the right or those on the left. Because it's a gang mentality when you act that way. So let's start from the top. Ursula, two police officers were told they aren't welcomed. Why? Because someone thinks it's popular to hate police because of a few bad apples? This is no different than my father walking into an establishment back in the 60s and being told that he isn't welcomed. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? This stops now. It needs to stop today. Some of you guys are just being followers and you're just trying to, well, that's the trend. Stop it. You can be upset about stories that have happened with bad apples with police officers and yet still understand that to not group a profession with those bad apples. I don't know why that's hard, but you can do it. I promise you. I was never going to share this, Ursula, but I will now. When I was young, there were times that people would buy my father's coffee. It was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? What was the coolest part is the bravado in which my father had. I know that whoever was buying that coffee, they had no idea, but it made my father proud. Mm-hmm. And so for the police officers out there, I know you know what I'm talking about. But they did it for appreciation. They didn't know my father. They didn't know if he was good or bad. They just did it because, hey, thank you, right? It's been something that to this day that I've been doing. When I see military and or police, my bad, firefighters, I need to get it together for y'all. But anyways, military and police, I buy their coffee every time, and I don't know them.
I still say thank you for your service.
Every time. And Philando Castile, Eric Gardner, George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, I can go through it. Rodney King, I can go through countless and countless of things that have been horrific. That has nothing to do with an entire, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
stop
so
it.
So there's two officers who just walk up to this counter of a chocolate store to be treated that way. Now, I don't know enough about this employee, and there's no justifying at all. I think it's wrong for the owner to say, we're going to, you know, this person is able to express her First Amendment right or whatever. That's not how you treat a customer.
No.
So to right there is like, that is a horrible apology, A. B, this is a learning opportunity, although I would say I would fire that person.
Immediately.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like it was the first time. I don't know.
Immediately.
So now you can only think that, is this something that this owner is okay with? And we've invited, we want to continue, because I would love for the owner to explain. You know,
me too.
Is this person part owner of the store? Is this whatever? But this bad publicity, I do feel horrible for the owner, because this is a business that, it's a small business that's probably been struggling. It's been there for a while, and now because of this, may not survive it.
Ursula, I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. I don't feel bad at all. Let me tell you something. If you, I want to make this real clear. If you are a business out here and you have the audacity to tell someone they aren't welcome because they are a certain ethnicity, or they come from a certain culture, or they practice a certain religion, or if they are part of a certain profession, and you have negative blowback to your business, bless your heart.
Yeah, and I understand that, but it goes in a bunch of different ways. And,
okay.
And there's, again, no excusing what this if this is true as it has been stated. Now, again, we're only hearing.
We'll love the owner to come on.
Yeah, exactly. So if this is true and how it's stated, you know, absolutely, there should be consequences for the employee. Do I think an entire business should go down over it because of one employee? Unless the employer himself thinks that this is okay. And I'm not, and I don't think his apology has gone far enough to show that he doesn't think it's okay. And that's the problem.
Well, in all fairness, the actions in this instance do not represent our views as a company.
That needed to be right at the front, and we will deal with the employee. But to start with saying, you know, she has her rights to do blah, blah, blah. No, that was the wrong thing to do. That was making a particular two customers, purely because of their profession, not feel welcomed and not, you know, be able to do business there.
Can I ask you something, Ursula?
Yeah, of course.
If these were two black men that walked into this business and an employee told them that they were not welcomed, do you think that this apology would be this way?
Oh, hell, heck no. Sorry.
I got Ursula to swoo. Hey, y'all know the conversation is good when I got Ursula to kind of get off her script a little bit.
I forgot that we were with a hot mic. Okay,
all right.
No.
Hey, coming up next, Ursula brought something to my attention on how the Democratic Party has been messing up. Ursula will set that up next, and I agree. It's G and Ursula. It is the G and Ursula Show. Hey, 10:06 happens, and Michael Medved joins us for the top three things that you need to know. And we'll ask Michael Medved a few things, such as what he thinks about President Joe Biden's infrastructure plan, what he thinks about Senator Tim Scott's GOP rebuttal, and some other things we'll ask about as well. But right now, we need to talk, Ursula, and set it up for us.
Okay, so you know that James Carville is a Democratic strategist, and he is very plain-spoken, outspoken,
sure.
And he says what he thinks. He doesn't try to mince words.
Sure.
And he thinks that the Democrats have a problem, and it's all about trying to be too woke. He says they have an issue with wokeness and elitism. And he is just saying, can we just have the Democrats speak in plain English? And he did this interview with Vox magazine.
It gives the aura of cosmopolitan smugness to the rest of the country. that somehow or another we think we're smarter and better than other people and we're going to lecture them. Well, we are. People agree with us on the issues. They like our tax plans. They like to believe in, they think climate is an issue. They think that racial inequality and inequality, as I do, is a terrible issue in American politics. But the way that you solve that is through power, acquire political power in the form of congressional seats, Senate seats, presidencies, governors, state legislatures. That's the way it's done. And it's not going to get done attacking 68% of the people who are going to vote in a national election.
He also says it's not going to be done by using words that people just don't use when they talk, things like Latinx when describing Latinos or Latinas, or you and I were saying when we first started hearing the term BIPOC, we're like, what is BIPOC? Right. And you, as a black man, were like, what is BIPOC?
Yo, communities of color. It's like, so look, we only have that. We don't have that long to talk about this. I think this is something that we need to continue to talk about because it's so complex what we're talking about. Yes, there has been a problem in America, right? That's no question about it. There's been a problem where there's just been certain populations that like it didn't matter. Yeah. Now, here we are today. Where a lot of these words that are being used, they're usually used by reporters, they're used by politicians and those elected officials.
Yes, absolutely. And in this effort to be, and I even hate the word woke. I hate the word woke.
I don't like
that's just gone way too far.
Yeah, I don't like
far.
The I don't like
just
the word
like
either.
I don't like cancel culture.
Yeah.
Which someone actually pointed out it was on Twitter, and I'm going to look it up again because he made a great point about instead of calling it cancel culture, that you could call it. Oh goodness!
Well, go ahead. You look for it.
Point being, though, that James Carville says the Democrats have become so elitist, and it's like this is not what everyday voters are looking, and they can't connect anymore. And he's willing to say,
I don't want to help rewrite dictionaries. I want to help rewrite laws. And the way that we help President Biden do that is by talking about things that are relevant to people in a way that they can understand it in a clear, distinct, and certain voice. And I believe that. And I'm at a place in life where I can say it while other people are terrified to say it.
And the word I was looking for, I love him, consequence culture, which is better. It's basically holding people accountable. It's a consequence culture instead of cancel culture. However, everything now is called cancel culture if you speak out against anything. And like Carville says, too, as far as the Democrats have gone, to be progressive anymore, so many Democrats don't even understand like what it is the party stands for.
Yeah. Let me simplify. And like I said, we need to talk more about this in the future. And Ma, I know you're probably listening to this, but don't take offense to this. Ursula, my mama's 78 years old. You understand me? And anybody that has older parents, you vibe where I'm coming from right now. When you have older parents, they don't know. As a matter of fact, there's people right now that's like, yeah, look, I don't want to say the wrong thing. So sometimes I don't even want to say anything. I get it. I mean, just recently, it happens to me. I just found out that I'm not supposed to say third world country. I also found out that I'm not supposed to say mistress. There's so many things that I found. Colleen O'Brien taught me about a few years ago that is inappropriate to say to a woman, hey, you need to smile. Every day it is something. So I know the feeling. But back to my mama. Man, when my mom be talking sometimes, you can't say that. No, you can't say that. No, you can't say that. But I don't say anything.
But we can't go so far to the point where people can't say anything.
Right.
Okay, then the conversation stopped and we can't even relate to what we're talking about. And so the idea of, I agree. You know who else agrees with James Carville is the head of the Democratic National Committee.
Yeah.
Jaime Harrison, who agrees with him now and says, yes, this party has an issue with wokeness and elitism, and we need to just start speaking in plain English and saying what we mean.
Well, let me just say, well, y'all know I talk the way I want to talk. And shout out to Goodfellas Barbershop down there in the University Place. Kev the Barber, thank you for having the G and Ursula Show on all the time. Coming up next, Michael Medved is G and Ursula.